Salim against Holder is next for argument. Mr. Mila.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Robert Mia, and I represent Sugierto Halim. I reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, the sole issue before you today concerns Mr. Halim's application for withholding of removal and whether or not he demonstrated that more likely than not he will face persecution if forced to return to Indonesia based on his religion and or ethnicity. Mr. Halim is ethnic Chinese and Christian.
You aren't arguing now what was addressed with the other courts, that he suffered past persecution, correct?
Correct, Judge. The court should find that substantial evidence in the record compels finding that the immigration judge erred and the Board of Immigration Appeals erred in denying Mr. Halim's application for withholding of removal. Under the pattern or practice analysis, as well as an individual risk analysis, this court should find, and the immigration judge should have found, that Mr. Halim carried his burden to show that he will suffer future persecution based on his ethnicity and religion. Mr. Halim presented evidence in the form of reports confirming the persecution of Christians through violent attacks organized to kill or severely injure Christians, which the government was complicit or unwilling to stop. The first piece of evidence, or one of the pieces of evidence, was this report issued titled "Attacks on Indonesian Churches Spiked in 2010. That was supported by a report from this non-governmental office organization called SETERA, which is a SETERA Institute for Democracy and Peace. It's an NGO based in Indonesia that watches for religious freedom violations, specifically in Indonesia. In that report, they calculated that from 2009 to 2010, there was an increase of sixfold of attacks against Christians. The numbers went from 12 to 75 in 2010. Granted, SETERA did acknowledge that there were some positive steps. However, they were concerned about, in fact, the president's own views on religious freedom and violations. In fact, they were quoted as saying that the president was unsupportive of freedom of religion and that he was closing his eyes to various violations of religious freedom. Now, the question is, what were those violations? The majority of those incidences, as reported, involved attacks on churches and other security threats, such as violent acts of destroying churches or burning churches. Granted, these acts were perpetrated by vigilante groups. There was a governmental role in this, either in an active or inactive position, meaning that SETERA confirmed that there was a high involvement of police and local government officials and a failure of police to control Islamist groups.
Weren't those acts primarily taking place in West Java, in Jakarta, and not in the area of his hometown in Medan?
Yes, Judge, they were. However, that does not take away Mr. Halim's fear of returning to his country.
Maybe not on subjective fear, but the objective fear element. How wouldn't that take away from any objective fear of returning to his hometown, where none of these acts have taken place anywhere near there?
Your Honor, if the position of the government is that Mr. Halim, because these incidents may have occurred in isolated pockets, if the concern is, well, or the argument is, well, he could return safely to some remote area of his country, maybe even his hometown, I would argue otherwise. There were attacks and riots that are very famous that occurred in his hometown. And granted, those were in 94 and 98.
Right.
I understand that.
And his family didn't suffer from any of those. They weren't harmed.
They were not harmed, but their neighborhood was under attack. Their home was under attack. With regard to his religious fears and whether or not he could safely relocate, one thing to understand is that Mr. Halim is a converted Christian. Since 2005, his family is not. Therefore, their ability to live there under different terms and possibly under different safety concerns is distinct from what he would experience if forced to return. Also, we would have to understand that 10%, give or take, 10% of the population in Indonesia is either Christian or Catholic. And so you could only expect that there will be small pockets of this population. And the overwhelming majority, 87%, is Muslim. Therefore, I have a hard time believing that it would be assumed that he could safely return, where no matter where he goes, he would definitely be a marginalized and targeted population member. In addition,
the argument you're making is effectively that every Christian or every person of Chinese ancestry from Indonesia is entitled to asylum in the United States, because it's not an argument specific to persecution of your client. That argument has been made to this court before and rejected. Do you have any response to those decisions? Do you want us to overrule them? So far you haven't talked about them.
No, Judge. In our brief, we acknowledged this court's position in previous decisions and acknowledged that...
So do you want us to overrule these decisions?
No, Judge, but I would ask that the court look to its language in its prior decisions in which it recognized that these are fact-specific cases and that nothing...
You're not making a fact-specific argument. You're making the argument that every Christian and every Indonesian of Chinese descent is entitled to asylum in the United States. It's a broad group argument, not an argument centered on your client. That's why I ask about these cases.
Yes, Judge. However, when I say fact-specific, I point directly to what this court enunciated in prior decisions where they said, we will allow for developments in information about violations of rights. We will allow for subsequent country reports to be issued. These decisions that I pointed to in the brief specifically were from 2007 and 2008. They did not contemplate the human rights reports issued in 2010.
So is Indonesia less tolerant in 2014 than it was in 2007?
Based on these reports, I would say yes, Judge.
Now, did you compare the reports?
No, Judge, I did not.
But that's the way to tell whether a country is less tolerant, is to compare what it is now with what it was then.
My concern, Judge, is I don't disagree with you. However, Judge, what I think is that a major flaw in the procedural history of this case, or the history of this case, is that the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals failed to make that comparison. This court has encouraged that we pay close scrutiny to the individual case before it, especially in a case such as this, where you can allow and should recognize changes in a country's conditions. However, if you look at the Board of Immigration Appeals decision, it fails to acknowledge the 2010 report and instead relies on the holdings in this court's 2007-2008 decisions without accounting for the potential for changes and differences. And I think that's a major flaw in the Board of Immigration Appeals decision. To your point, Judge St. Eve, as far as his safe relocation, I'd just like to hit one point on that, in particular, that it's the government's burden to show that there is the possibility for safe relocation. And I don't see the government carrying that burden anywhere in this case, other than to say and presume that there is the possibility of safe relocation.
Wouldn't the fact that his family still resides there and they haven't suffered any persecution be enough to carry that burden?
With regard to religion, he's a different religion. With regard to race, I think they have suffered in the past, in the 94 and 98 riots.
Is that enough?
No, Judge, it's not. However, I think that's a sign of the history of this country that has not made much progress.
Your problem is that pointing to things from 1994 and 1998 don't establish that the Indonesia of 2014 is worse than the Indonesia of 2007.
I believe it is, not just through comparison of 94 and 98, however, through comparison with what his family has experienced. For example, His sister was unable to attend university. Mr. Halim was forced essentially to...
But how does that meet this circuit's definition of persecution?
Well,
which was recently articulated very clearly.
This court's definition of persecution, I find quite helpful what this court enunciated in a prior case, Stanikova v. Holder, actually broke down the differences between...
I wish you would address Judge St. Eve's question.
Yes, Judge.
No Catholic could attend Oxford or Cambridge in the United Kingdom until the 20th century. Was every Catholic entitled to asylum in the United States as a result of that?
No, Judge. I would not call that persecution. However, I see my time is up. If I could answer your question or return on rebuttal.
You can finish answering the question.
I think if you look at the evidence that was presented, the facts in this particular case, when you're looking at the reports issued by an objective Cetera Institute, that is an NGO, as well as...
your position. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Witeja.
May it please the Court. My name is Annette Witeka, and I represent the Attorney General in these proceedings. I want to address the issue of whether Mr. Halim could relocate, and to point out that the board actually did not address the question about whether he could safely relocate to another area in Indonesia. In our brief, we pointed out that the attacks on the churches and the incidents that Mr. Halim relied on, as mentioned in the Sitara report, were occurring at a different part of the country where he was from, mainly to rebut his argument that it was widespread and not to suggest that relocation was a possibility. Since the agency didn't decide the case on that issue, we don't want to make that affirmative argument. But we wanted to rebut the claim that the persecution was widespread. Mr. Halim is, as the court has pointed out, relying largely on events that happened in 1994 and 1998 to support his claim of persecution on his Chinese ethnicity. The evidence in the State Department country report indicates that. Well, there is some discrimination. Ethnic Chinese have a large role in the economic life of Indonesia, and while there is some discrimination, the agency concluded that that does not rise to the level of persecution, and so the claim that there's a pattern or practice is not supported by the record. The record would not compel such a conclusion. And regarding the claim about his Christian religion, the most that can be said is that there's some evidence in the record about violence and attacks on church, and some evidence in the Religious Freedom Report mentioning that the government supports religious freedom. They're affording some protections. So on a record where there's this evidence on the one hand and this evidence on the other hand, you can't say that the record compels a contrary conclusion to what the agency reached. And Mr. Halim claimed that the board didn't examine the 2010 country report, and I just wanted to address that that the agency said at page 7 of the record, the board said the immigration judge's findings of fact regarding current country conditions are not clearly erroneous. And so there's no basis in the board's decision to suggest that the board was not looking at the record that was before the immigration judge, including the 2010 report. So if there aren't any more questions, we ask that the petition for review be denied. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our final argument of the morning is Grove.